everybody. Welcome to the Live Your Best Marriage podcast. My name is Whitney Shio, and I have my husband here with me today.
And I'm Pastor Shio. Welcome to Live Your Best Marriage podcast, where we believe that every marriage has a chance to be awesome and fulfilling. Mm-hmm. And you can get hold of us today at my Twitter handle is at Pesa Shio, and my wife's.
You can find me on Twitter at Whitney Shio. And in case some people don't know how our last name is spelled, it is Shayo, but we pronounce it Shio, so that might make it a little bit difficult to find us. And also, we are here for you guys for encouragement. We've been married for 11 years, and we know that marriage is challenging, but it is possible. And we honestly believe that every single marriage has a chance to not only survive, but be very, very happy as well.
Yes, and because we believe that, we have made it our life's mission to share some of the ups and downs that we've experienced in our marriage so that we can hopefully help somebody who's going through a rough time in their life and just to help them make their marriage a little bit stronger for them and their kids.
Mm-hmm. That's right. We haven't had anything that you would consider a scandal or anything like that, but we have had a lot of really tough everyday things going on for us. And so far, 2015 has been probably the best year for us in our marriage because we have learned so much over the previous 10 years. And we just honestly want to encourage everybody and let you know that the tough times really don't last that long. You can get through it. You can have a breakthrough around the corner. And so just hang on a little bit longer and you'll see the possibilities.
And the possibilities are really endless. I mean, the bonding, the closeness, the feeling of compassion and companionship. That's the word, companionship. And it actually gets better with time.
Yeah, it does. And also, one thing that really helped us was just being able to learn the true meaning of marriage and learn that it's not the fairy tale, happy ever after story that we're constantly being told by movies and songs and whatever. Because in Hollywood, we're told that it's you guys face obstacles and then you overcome them and then you have your wedding day and then everything after that is perfect. But actually, that's not real life. You'll get married and then still have a lot of tough times all throughout your marriage. And one thing that it really took a long time for me to understand, I read it from a book called The Meaning of Marriage by Tim Keller. Yeah, The Meaning of Marriage. And he said that your spouse will actually end up being the one bringing out the worst in you. And that one took me a long time to really understand because I wasn't getting it. I was like, okay, my spouse should make me happy. He should not make me miserable.
But should not bring the worst out of me.
He should not be. But what ends up happening is your spouse's opinion of you means so much to you that when they say the wrong thing, or maybe they even intentionally say the wrong thing, it just makes you feel absolutely horrible. And then it makes you wanna, I don't want to say revenge, but for lack of a better word, revenge, I guess. It makes you want to do the same thing back to them. But in this book, he was describing how that whole process is actually God's plan to teach you grace and to teach you how to forgive. So, and as I said, I mean, it took me probably a year after reading that book. It took me about a year to really start to appreciate that lesson that God had for me. I wasn't getting it. I was like, okay, really? this sucks. Why? I thought my husband was supposed to be the most awesome guy ever and supposed to be the one lifting my spirits when I feel bad, not the one, you know, putting me down. But, and again, it wasn't, he wasn't doing things on purpose, but sometimes if we're not as thoughtful as we should be, if we don't have full presence and we're not being as considerate and loving as we're supposed to be to the person we're married to, sometimes things slip out of our mouth and later we're like, oops, that wasn't right.
And just to clarify, I'm an awesome husband.
Yeah, he is. He's a great husband. He really is. But also at the same time, we have to be real and we have to share with you so that, because every marriage is like that. It's not like there's just some marriages that don't work or some marriages that do. No,
there's always some ups and downs. Yeah. Because, and you know, a friend of mine once told me that there's always going to be some issues going on because you're bringing two human beings who were raised at different times, different families. They see the world differently, and you want them to live together in a house. So I'm not saying that it's impossible. It's actually possible to be happy, but there's some work that you need to put in. It's not just going to happen just like that. And that's why we like recording some of these podcasts so that we can encourage you as you're going through this journey, you and your wife, because sometimes it gets hard. And the message that we get all the time in the media, it's if you are not happy, you need to find somebody else to make you happy. And I read somewhere that they were saying, hey, did you marry your best friend? And I was like, there's some truth to that. But also, it sets up a false expectation. Because, yes, you need to marry somebody who you are in love with and you need to marry somebody who you actually like. That does not mean because they were your best friend, that does not mean that's when the work stops. You need to work. You need to show grace. You need to show grace.
Yeah, just like any lesson in life. Actually, this is like one of the number one lessons in life. A mixture of good and bad will exist. And the same is also true in marriage. You won't have only good times. You'll have some bad times too. But the more we can learn to forgive each other and show grace, the easier those bad times get. And that's the truth. And I know that might sound really sappy. And some people will be like, oh, but you don't know who I have to live with. You don't know. I mean, my spouse is really crazy. You don't get it. But no, it's every marriage has that. Trust me. Everybody has fights. Everybody has issues. But it's the way we learn to deal with those issues that's what makes the marriage more successful and more enjoyable for you guys.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, for all you out there whose kids have started school, maybe you guys should go ahead and tweet us at Pesa Shayo or at Whitney Shayo just to give us some of your experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let us know how the school year is going for you so far. If you have some issues that are going on, make sure you talk to us. Get a hold of us. You can reach us. Twitter would probably be a quick way. If you're on Twitter, you can find me at Whitney Shayo. You can send me a direct message. Or if you're not on Twitter, that's okay too. You can email us at liveyourbestmarriage@gmail.com. And just let us know how it's going. And we would love to hear from you. We are actually homeschooling our kids this year. And so whether you're going to regular school or you're homeschooling, let us know. We would love to hear how it's going for your kiddos. And give us, what are some of your tips for getting your kids to bed on time? And what time do you have them wake up in the morning? How's your morning routine? Is it smooth? Is it chaotic? Ours, we just started getting really strict about bedtime at our house. It has to be 9 o'clock, and usually we send them to their room around 8:30 so that they can try to settle down and adjust so that they can actually sleep at 9. And then,
but it hasn't been that smooth sailing as we expected, because for the longest time we did not really enforce the 9 o'clock bedtime.
Yeah, so a few weeks ago when school was starting, I just assumed that if I say, hey guys, 9 o'clock is bedtime, I just thought, hey, they'll go to sleep at 9. But no, I have my 4-year-old coming and talking to me at 9:30, sometimes even close to 10 o'clock, and I'm like, wait a second, why doesn't she even look sleepy?
Yeah.
But that's, they'll get there. They're getting much better. So, yeah, as I said, we would love to hear any tips that you guys have for the bedtime routine or the morning routine. That would be awesome. That's a good thing to share so that other parents can also try to have some success with that too.
Yes. And especially for the waking up routines, what do you guys do in the morning before the kids start schooling? We have been trying several things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the morning, we have them get up around 7:30, and then we don't start school until 8:30.
Yeah.
So that gives them an hour to just chill out a little bit, wake up and get their clothes on and do their teeth brushing routine, and then have breakfast and feed the cat.
Yeah.
Just chill out for a little bit before they actually have to open their books and stuff. So, and we actually changed to a harder curriculum this year. This year we're using Abeka.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not hard, but it's harder than what we had last year. Last year we had
the ACE.
We had ACE, the Accelerated Christian Education one, and that one was a little bit, it was more simple. They could just work at their own pace and then through each workbook until they got to the next level. But this year with Abeka, oh my goodness, each subject has a really thick textbook. and each one comes with like a quiz booklet too. So we have to stay on top of all of our tests and our quizzes like every 3 weeks. So it's good. I like it so far.
So if you guys have different experiences or just different experiences with different curriculums, or if anybody's using Abeka out there and they want to share some tips, how they used it and how they felt, like how everything is going with Abeka, they can just tweet us at Pesa Shayo or
at Whitney Shayo. And also, even if you're sending your kids to public school or private school, how do you motivate your kids to do their homework? You don't have to homeschool to get in this conversation. It's just, because sometimes it's challenging just to incentivize. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to say incentivize your kids, but how do you motivate them even just for them to appreciate how important it is for them to do their work?
Because we know that it's important that they should do their work because it's something that they need for their future. But sometimes it's so hard to get the information through to them. Mm-hmm. They just feel like it's just too much work or it's just a pain for no reason. They just don't see why they should be doing the work, why they should be doing the math, and why they should be doing the languages and all that stuff. And not why should they not just not be playing outside? But
yeah, we have a 9-year-old who is in fourth grade, and then we have a 4-year-old we have kindergarten workbooks for her, but we're moving at the pace of a pre-K. Some people have this image of homeschooling as like the mom is Like, I don't know. The mom is wearing like a really long dress and she's cooking all day. And
so do you wear a long dress and cook all day?
No, actually it's funny. I'm a Zumba instructor. So a lot of people are like, whoa, she homeschools? That's weird. She is so weird. Like, she's not the typical homeschooling mom. But no, that's just, they have this image, like, or maybe the kids are, like, down on their hands and knees scrubbing the floor or something. But no, that's not it at all. Actually, we have a video coming out of what homeschooling looks like for us on a typical day. And it's just, we're so thankful. Really, I just have so much gratitude for the opportunities that we're able to have because we send our kids to gymnastics at our local Y, and they're using this really awesome Olympic program that they're doing. And then our church has, we go to church every week, and their Sunday school class has like 900 kids in it.
Wow.
So, yeah, which is, it's crazy, right? I mean, yes. It's awesome, but a lot of people think that
it's too big.
That if you homeschool, your kids don't get to play with anybody. But definitely that's not the case for us because, like I said, they play with a lot of kids at the Y. And then they play with a lot of kids, obviously, at church. And then also we have a science center. I guess it's called Exploration Place here in Wichita, where the 9-year-old is able to take math and science classes.
Yeah.
And then just to kind of, you know, supplement what we do at home, just give her a little extra boost. And then they also have an art place where she can take art classes and do a lot of painting and sculpting. And so anyway, I am super excited for all of you guys to see that video because you'll get to see a day in the life of our homeschooling anyway. And it's going to be totally different from the stereotypical, yeah.
Yeah, and homeschooling has really changed, and a lot of people these days are not even doing it for religious reasons. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of families we've met, and they're homeschooling not for religious reasons. They're homeschooling for, they feel like they can do a better job mm-hmm. than the public school system, but they don't also want to go to private school. We've met some families who just want to spend more time with their kids
mm-hmm.
and they choose to homeschool. And then there's a lot of families who we know who are doing it for the religious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
They want to homeschool so that they can also include Bible in the curriculum. And that's what we do too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ours also has a Bible lesson that goes mm-hmm. with it. But and we did send our oldest to a private school. And honestly, I mean, we liked it. We loved the Montessori program. But when she got to a certain age, when she got to first grade, they didn't offer Montessori anymore. And after that, everything just kind of started going downhill in first grade because it seemed like the number one concern among the teacher and the parents was who was in charge of snacks. And that was so annoying to me. They made a really big deal out of it. It was, the focus went from homework and really challenging work to who's bringing snacks. Oh, so-and-so is allergic to that one. No, you can't bring that. It has to be vegan. No, it has to be organic. Oh, no. We can't have nuts. We can't have peanuts. We can't have this. And you would, like, each parent would be in charge of snacks. Like, we would alternate, like, week by week. And it was just, so, I mean, that's not the only reason why we took our child out of private school. But that was super annoying, if you catch my drift. But also, just even safety was a big issue for us. Because that same year that she was in first grade, that's when they had the Newtown tragedy, that horrible, horrible thing that happened in Connecticut. So safety was starting to become an issue, a concern for us. And then also it seemed like bullying was getting worse in the school as well. And just, I don't know, we just thought that we could actually give her more work in fewer hours a day and have her learn more if she was at home with us. So those are just a few of the reasons. We had more than that. But
now, if any of you guys are also homeschooling, as we say, just give us some of why you decided to do homeschooling. Just tweet us at Pesa Shayo
or at Whitney Shayo. Yeah, we would love to hear about it. We love to hear about other people's, how they're raising their kids. And because we can all share experiences and tips, and we can all benefit from that
and go through this journey together. So, and do you have anything to tell us about what's coming up on the blog?
On the blog we have, right now we send out an article every week. We do most of them, we try to do things that you can think about in your own marriage, and some, hopefully something that can help you. And then also I like to throw in a lot of things that people don't normally think about much, like especially the article we had last week. I think a lot of us overlook how much time we spend in social media, or how much time we spend texting. And so that's a big thing that I like to bring up a lot, so that, because that brings husband and wife closer together. The less time they spend on their phone, the more they can get closer together, because they're actually face-to-face talking, and instead of texting or messaging other people who don't even matter.
And I know it sounds weird that we are telling you to slow down on your social media, and then at the same sentence telling you, hey, you can tweet us at Pesa Shayo.
Well, no, I mean, but there's...
You can just do that. Just tweet us and ignore everybody else. Yeah. But we're kidding.
Yeah, you can only talk to us. No, it's not that at all. It's just, there's an extent, I mean, obviously, where it becomes unreasonable if it's just... Because, I mean, I'm just going by problems that we've had and problems that people have told us about. You know, how one husband told my husband a few weeks ago that he just can't stand the fact that at dinner time he's a stay-at-home dad and the wife comes home from work, and when they're sitting there having dinner with their kids, the wife is on her phone. And at first he thought it was business related, but then eventually he kind of found out that she's mostly just texting coworkers and about personal stuff, like it wasn't business related. And so that made him even more upset, obviously. So those are just some of the issues that we like to bring to light, because
there's a lot of families being affected by them.
Yeah. Yes. And I'm just as attached to my phone as anybody else is. I mean, I have my phone with me a lot, and sometimes I have to make a conscious decision to turn off my notifications, especially when I'm with my little ones. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I really should not answer that right now. Yeah. My 1-year-old is trying to give me a hug, so let me just put the phone aside for a minute. Let me just remember what really matters. So yeah, I'm not being judgmental at all. Like, seriously, I'm not judging people, because I am very attached to my phone. But I also have those moments when I have to realize, okay, it's too much now.
Yeah.
This is enough.
This is enough. And it gets hard, because we're encouraging a lot of communications, and we love to get to hear from you guys. We love it. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to managing the social media in your house, there has to be a time for the family, time for social media, time for friends, and so forth and so forth. So it's not like we want you guys to be isolated and have no friends online. No, that's not what we're saying. We're saying that it should just be done in moderation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, unless you have a job that is a customer service job, that you have to always be answering the text messages and the tweets and the phone calls all the time, and you're working from home, I know that will be hard, but for most of us, that is not that's not our problem. For most of us, our problem is we just need to have a balance.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. And also, there's a difference between listening to a positive podcast or texting some stranger from work. There's a difference between you trying to better yourself, like you're looking online, you're reading a blog that's going to help you, or you're
like liveyourbestmarriage.com.
Oh, that's such a good example. But right, like if you're listening to, even if you like listening to books on Audible and things like that, there's a difference between doing those things and just sitting there like mindlessly going through a news feed. And because I do that, I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. There's a huge difference. And even just the way it makes me feel mentally, like emotionally, I feel like I'm in a better mood if I'm listening to something positive or I'm reading something that's going to help me rather than just scrolling through my Facebook. Because on Facebook, everybody throws at you what they're thinking about at that moment.
Yes.
And so it's like the biggest collection of randomness. And sometimes it's really just ridiculous. You're like, oh my gosh, I wasn't even thinking about that right now. That's gruesome. I don't want to see that. Or, oh, that's disgusting. Why are they talking about that? And so it's like, okay, really? This is just too much now. I'm done. It's like, so I've been there. I know. So I feel like I'm in a better mood if I listen to a book on Audible or instead of going to Facebook, or if I'm reading a blog about, you know, eating healthy food or something, for example, rather than just going through my
timeline.
Yeah, my timeline, whatever you want to call it.
Okay, folks.
Mm-hmm. So, thank you guys so much for listening. We will be back again in a few days. And again, you can find our blog at liveyourbestmarriage.com/blog. And again, we love feedback. We love hearing from you guys. And so, keep in touch.
And you can, again, find us again at Pesa Shayo. And my wife is at...
I'm at Whitney Shio.
And until next time, God bless and we'll